thank you, Lord, just for the awareness of you amongst us this morning. Lord, we acknowledge you as holy. You're the Holy One. You're way above all others in perfection and in righteousness. And you've come to take your throne amongst us, to be our King and reign in righteousness and reign in holiness in our lives. We pray this morning, Lord, that your word would cleanse us. It would renew us, refresh us, restore joy into our lives. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to make Jesus known, the plans of God known to us, so that we might walk in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Thank you, Jesus. It's with humility, Lord, and with fear that I bring this word, and I pray that it would be received personally from each one of us, that we wouldn't listen to this word for somebody else, but we would take your word for ourselves, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Would you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11? I did wonder whether in the worship the Lord was going to change the message this morning, but no was the word I had, so I do his will, not my own, and he's the boss. Luke chapter 11. Now this is really an interesting passage of scripture. And Jesus is actually speaking, I believe, to all of us today, something really important. And he's speaking about evil spirits. And if you've been a Christian a while, you'll be more than aware of evil spirits. If you haven't been a Christian for very long or aren't a Christian, you will have been subjected to or been under the influence of evil spirits. Because Jesus says, before God becomes your Father, and before you accept Jesus Christ personally, darkness is in you, Satan is your father, and you have no power or freedom in your life. And so Jesus is teaching here that he's the one who drives out evil spirits, and he used an illustration of a man who had physical problems, but actually there was an evil spirit behind those problems. And he drove out this evil spirit, and this man could actually speak, he could be all that God created him to be, because he was free from evil. Now the Bible says if the Son sets you free, if Jesus sets you free, you're free indeed. And when you accept Jesus, darkness is driven out of your life. You're forgiven all your sins, and you become clean, and Satan has no power or authority over you. But Jesus uses this illustration of this man being set free from an evil spirit to teach people, and that would include you and I, about evil spirits. And in verse 24, he says of this evil spirit, and he, in my translation it says it's an impure spirit. Jesus says, when an impure spirit, an evil spirit, comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, interesting, demons can talk, isn't it? It says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. Now, these are pretty awesome words. They're the truth, by the way. Jesus knows the reality of what happens in the spirit realm. But they're the truth, because Jesus only speaks truth. And he knows what happens. And he's speaking about a person being like a house. If you think about every individual in this room, you're like a house. And when an evil spirit is commanded to leave your life, or when the enemy has to leave your life because you've accepted Jesus, Jesus cleans you up. He forgives your sins. Now already that's a time for celebration. Your house gets cleaned up. Sins are wiped out. Your life is put in order and you're free. But Jesus says it's dangerous if you leave your house empty. Okay? Jesus is warning us it's dangerous to live empty. Not just free and forgiven, but empty. And he says this evil spirit will go off and find seven even worse. And this is a person who's been freed from an evil spirit, who's going to end up in a worse condition than he was before he got set free. Because they're going to come back, see that nobody else is in there, and take over. And the condition of that person is even worse. Now, Jesus never gives warnings without purpose. He never gives warnings. This is a warning. And he never gives it to make us afraid. Although you need to be afraid if you're listening to this and you haven't got Jesus filling your life. Because that's what Jesus says. But he doesn't want us to live afraid, because he is greater than any other power. But on your own, you're not greater than the devil. Without Jesus, you can't win over the devil, and your life will get worse and worse. Okay? But Jesus warns us because he wants to protect. He wants to protect you. He loves you so much, he wants to protect you. That's the positive reality of why Jesus teaches us these things. And because it's in the Bible, we know it's his teaching, not a particular denomination. Amen? Okay? And what Jesus is essentially saying is, you need to fill your life with God. You need to fill your life with God. That's what he is saying. And it's out of passion and love he's saying, you need to fill your life with God. And not live empty. And I believe he is saying there is a great danger being inactive, being passive, being a lazy Christian. I believe this is a warning for all lazy Christians. And remember, the word is for you and for me, not for the person next to you. This word is for all of us to listen to. There is a danger, a great danger, if you're not involved in kingdom life and business. If you're not involved in the things of God that he has planned for your life. If you're not involved in church life. If you're not involved in meeting with other Christians. If you're not involved with prayer, it's a great danger. If you're not involved in sowing, reading the word, and allowing the word to shape your life, you are in danger. Because the devil loves it. He loves it when we're passive, when we're inactive, when we sit down and do nothing about our spiritual lives. We are easily defeated by Satan. Satan can take over any person's life here today if we let him. Offer no resistance. You will give him assistance. Offer no resistance, you will give him assistance. Do nothing, and it'll get worse. Okay, so Jesus is saying something here that we all need to hear. Your life will become a playground for the devil. He will cause havoc. He will cause havoc. It'll just get worse and worse. It'll just get worse and worse. If you have a secret sin going on in your life, let me tell you, the devil's loving it. because he's defeated in that area, and he can create more and more havoc in your life because of that. And so Jesus says, you need to fill your life with God. Go and say it to somebody next to you. You need to fill. In fact, say, I need to fill my life. I need to fill my life with God. If you think about an allotment or a garden, if you do nothing to that allotment or garden, just do nothing. Don't actively sow weeds. Don't dig, plant some blackberry bushes, unless you want blackberries. Or just weeds, just plant, go sow seeds to get weeds in your garden. If you don't do anything, do you know what will happen? You will grow weeds and thorns. I've noticed. If you see a field and it's left waste, doing nothing, then that field will grow the negative and become unfruitful, unproductive, useless. That's all you have to do is niente, nothing, zero. And this life that Jesus has called us to live is to be active and involved in the things of God. To be daily pursuing Jesus. To be daily involved in sowing the word and advancing the kingdom of heaven. That is his destiny for your life. That is the place you will be the happiest, and you won't be like a barren field. Your life will produce so much fruit if you give yourself as God's field to the work of God. God dislikes empty. He doesn't like empty. The earth, when he created everything, the earth was void, empty. And God said, I don't want it empty. Let there be. And there was. And he created everything that we see. So he doesn't want the world to be empty. That's why there's trees and mountains and rivers and there's fish and there's animals and there's you. He wanted you. He didn't want to be empty. That's the good news. God ordained that you live for such a time as this, not to live empty, but to live filled with God. When Jesus came, he didn't say, I've come that you might have a smattering of life. He said, I've come that you might have fullness of life. But the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy life. The devil comes. He is real, and he wants to take your life. He wants to take your destiny. He wants to take your fruit just by doing nothing. Empty. The Word of God tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not to be drunk with wine, overtaken by the pleasures and passions of the world, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be filled with God. Colossians tells us, let the word of Christ, the word of God, dwell in you partially. No, richly. Let it live in you, not in the written pages, but in your heart. Let it live in you so that what comes out of you is the word of God. Your mouth is always speaking what God says. Your mind is being renewed constantly because you're allowing the word to dwell in you. Lots. Amen. You're putting loads in. You're putting loads in. Loads of the word. Go and tell somebody next to you, if I get loads of the word in, I get loads of fruit. If God doesn't fill flesh and the devil will. If God doesn't fill your life, your flesh and the devil will. No neutral. Remember the field? Just do nothing and you'll have trouble. Just do nothing and you'll have trouble. Be inactive, do nothing, and you will get problems. Now, I believe Scripture reveals there are primarily two types of sin. There's the sin of commission. And all of us have done both types of sin here. So nobody in this room can say, I've never done that. Well, we all have. That's why Jesus had to die for our sins and pay the price for us. He was punished for us so that we could be forgiven. But we're not going to take sin lightly now and just live how we want. If it's a problem to God, then it should be a problem to me. Hello? But a sin of commission means the things we do wrong and say wrong. And, you know, we do things against God and we do things that hurt other people. That's doing wrong. We've all done that. We've all done wrong. But we've also all done the sin of omission. Now, what does that mean? When we don't do what we should do, that's a sin. Sorry to tell you straight this morning, but Jesus told me to tell you straight. So that his church could be cleaned up and be the church he wants us to be. Okay? And not be a plaything for the devil. Amen. And not allow it seven times worse to come in. And it's the sins of omission. When we don't do what we should do. Now let me say, there's forgiveness for both types. But both need confessing. You can't be forgiven unless you say, Lord, I am sorry. But every time we do, God is faithful and just to forgive. I want to tell you, we're talking about a merciful God who loves us, and his sole goal is that you will live a fulfilled life. And the only way you can be fulfilled is to be filled with God. Not partial, not a bit, but full. Yeah? Everything about God is fullness. He wants fullness of life for you. Which means you've got to be filled with the Word, filled with the Spirit, filled with your life, filled with the plans of God, doing what God wants with your life. Now, the sin of omission, I'm afraid you and I, well, I'm never afraid, but I'm sorry to say you and I have all done this, but I'm not making excuses for having done it. I've said sorry. Okay, so this is not a permission to just carry on, because I believe God wants us to kind of shape up like the army we should be. Okay? Like the soldier of Christ we should be. We're all called to be soldiers in God's army, you know that. We're not here for civilian life. You're not a civvy, you were enlisted as a soldier of Jesus Christ. What an honor! I'm in his army. What an honor it is to be enlisted as God's soldier. But, you know, we've all failed to pray. Haven't we? And if we do, we don't pray for others. We just pray for our little circle. Just us. Fail to daily read the Word. So the Word. Fail to meet with other believers. Give up going to faith groups or the groups that gather and just say, oh, it's not for me. Failed to invest in our marriages. Just let it go along. Let me tell you, that is a recipe for trouble. Do nothing. No investment equals trouble, weeds, thorns. You have to look after your marriage. Tell you, if you're married, just say to yourself, I need to look after my marriage. Date nights need to be a habit, guys. Woo! But not every night, because there's kingdom business, but there's a balance to life. Seek first the kingdom, and the date nights will be great. All things will be added. Fail to invest in the spiritual state of our kids. Do not leave it to the children's workers in the church. Hello? Anybody out there? Invest the word as a parent, as a father, as a mother. Invest the word. See them praying. See them. Let them see, you praying. Let them see the reality. Pray with your kids. Not just the mum does it. The dad does it. Not just the dad does it. The mum does it. Invest in your children. Do nothing. There will be trouble ahead. Do nothing. Do nothing. Otherwise they'll think, church isn't it's not what my parents do. It's just something we do on a Sunday. It's just part of the diary. Jesus is our life. So, what does that mean? Because he's our life, it's who we live with. He's filling our life so the devil can't be in here. He's filling our home so the devil can't come in. We're being wise and protecting, building walls around our family. Sorry, I'm preaching up. And I trust you know this is in love. I'm not shouting at you, but I am zealous for you. With a zealousness, is that right? Zeal that comes from God. Zealousness, new word. We fail when we stop serving in the house of God. When we don't take up our place in the body of Christ and give. When we just visit and don't become a part. We fail when we don't help others, don't we? Sins of omission. We fail if we stop tithing. Maybe we started once, but things got a bit tough, so we stop. That's a sin of omission. We fail when we don't resist the devil. We fail when we don't witness and get involved in church evangelistic exploits. Because isn't that why we're here? To win the world to Christ. And it's a sin of omission, not permission. I'm good at rhyming today. God's not giving us permission because we don't feel like it. It's a sin of omission which needs confessing if we're not involved. And you know, with my life, I can make excuses. Have you ever made an excuse about this sin of omission? Most of us have made excuses about both. But the sin of omission, when I don't do what I should do. So, you know, you could say, well, you're a spiritual leader. It's your job. Well, it's not my job on holiday. Is it? When I have a holiday, it's not my job. And I think I shared with you recently, I went on holiday and got pretty rough. I was feeling rough all the time I was away. So I was in that little land of excuses as to why I didn't feel like praying very much. I did a bit, but not very much. And I realized that actually, what am I doing? I never have a holiday from God. And I never generally do, and it only went just for a day feeling totally rough. But I realized, even feeling rough, I have to sow the word. Yes. Hello? I don't make excuses. Actually, the word is the solution. And so, even though I need to make an effort, do anybody like those words as a Christian? Oh, well, brother, I'm under grace. Well, there's grace to make an effort. That's what the power of the Holy Spirit's in you for, to actually cause you to do the will of God. Not to do your own will. There's not grace for your own ways. There's grace for the will of God. Even on holiday. And you know what? I had the richest time after I kind of just adjusted that and thought, this is not going to be a little bit with Jesus. I'm going to have a fantastic time. And generally, my holidays are a fantastic time with the Lord. But it's something that you can never let up on your spiritual life. Because what happens is you start to make excuses. And actually, before we ever backslide out of church, big one coming now, you waiting for this? Before we ever backslide out of church, we've backslidden in our hearts. A backslider in heart, Proverbs says, is filled with his own ways. I want time out. I want a rest. I want to do my own thing. A backslider in heart is filled with his own ways. But a good man is satisfied from above. In other words, if you do what God wants, your life will be so full of blessing. Just do nothing and you will backslide. Just do nothing personally and you will backslide. And it's such an important message that Jesus is teaching us about the demonic realm. How we need to protect our lives and shut down the doors and the walls around our lives so that there is absolutely no entry point for evil spirits to come in and create havoc in our circumstances, in our marriages, in our bodies, in every area. And you know, have you ever worked with somebody who's downright lazy? I have, okay? I worked once in, I was working in the food industry, I was in some kind of management in the food industry, and there was this guy, he was the kind of supervisor of the line, and I think when people become supervisors, they think they just supervise and do nothing. And I mean, he used to spend most of his time outside the building smoking. That's all he used to do, trying getting away with as little work as he could. Well, let me tell you, he lost his job by being lazy. And it's the same as it is in the workplace. It's the same in every area. Passivity, laziness, inactivity will make you poor in some way. It'll take more from you than give anything to you. You might feel you had to lie down, but actually, lying down is where the trouble starts. Being lazy is where trouble starts. And I believe as Christians, we should be workers in the workplace. Not overwork. There's a time for work. There's time for God. There's time for family. There's time for the right things. I don't mean get 5 jobs and never have time to surface. But when we are at work, we work. Not shelve. And just wander around saying, oh, is it nearly time yet? Okay. Let's look at an example of someone who was passive. And for me, this is one of the most sobering things to see who it is. Because this guy was a front runner in his generation for Jesus. Now, forgiveness got him back to being a front runner, but he lost an awful lot because he was passive. And his name is David, King David. Let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 11. How are we doing out there? Yeah? Isn't this a wonderful word from God this morning? You came just to hear this. If you're visiting, you came for this. Well done. That's all I can say. Good on you. You're here. You weren't passive this morning. You're here. Round of applause. We weren't passive in the worship, were we? Look what happened. Wowzers. It's amazing. 2 Samuel. Chapter 11, and we're going to read verse 1 to 4. You can look at the next few chapters, actually, and see really all the things, the bad things that happened. But we're just going to look at this. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1 to 4. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Raba, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David was chilling. I'm just chilling. Here I am, just chilling. I love that word. I'm chilling. Just chilling out. Staying in bed. In fact, he must have been in bed all day. Because this is now evening. The guy gets up. And it must have been like, because there, remember, no electric lights in King David's time. So it must have still been light. Have you ever thought that through? So it's not that late. And he's up from his, actually, one translation says it's his sofa, his couch. He gets up from his bed and walks around on the roof of the palace, surveying his domain, whilst his men are on the front line battling, surveying the domain. And from the roof, he saw, I tell you what, the devil loves opportunities to tempt you to sin. And it's all on the back of being lazy. Okay? On the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. So we're starting to get her described. And David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, she's Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife, married, somebody else's, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Now, man of God, David, worshipper, warrior, the one who advanced the kingdom, has lost all reason. The devil's coming in fast. Like so quick, you wouldn't believe it. The evil spirits are going brilliant. He's looking at her. Oh, he's even finding out information about her. That's good. They're waiting to pounce. Evil spirits are waiting to pounce through sin. Come on. Come on. Evil spirits are behind. Satan is called the tempter. God never tempts anyone to sin. Satan is the tempter. And there she is, and then David sent messengers to get her, right? He's already sinned in his heart. Now it's the action. She came to him, he slept with her, she went back home pregnant. Another man's wife. Right, that man is at war on the front line. One of his officers in the army. And at a time when he should have been, at a time when kings go to war, at a time when. You see, there is a time when you should pray. There is a time when you should be in church. There is a time when you should be in small groups. There is a time when you sow the word into your life personally. There's a time when you advance the kingdom and witness by giving the gospel. And at that time, he said, no, it's my time. So this shows me passivity can happen to any one of us, including me. Doesn't it? Not one of us are left out of this danger that Jesus is warning us about. Passivity was the beginning of the crisis of his life. I believe I'm issuing warnings in the spirit this morning for people who are here now entertaining stuff. You maybe haven't gone down the road, some of you might have, but entertaining stuff that you should be walking away from and getting back to advancing the kingdom. Not sitting on your bed, giving yourself time to think. All that time is not serving God. And these warnings are actually to stop you from having the heartache that was the result of what David did. I bet he said, I've been on the front line for years. How many of you have said, I've been in church for years? I'm a bit tired, I think it's time to let somebody else have a go. Well, let me tell you, nobody can say that in God. You're going to have a go till you go to glory. And then you're really going to have a go serving the Lord and worship. Can you see the end of the race is not an age? It's when your spirit leaves your body or when Jesus returns. Either or. But until then, be active, involved, completely in. Or empty equals trouble. Beware the vacuums in your life. Say that to somebody. Beware the vacuums in your life. The empty places. Glory. David, I bet, said, and you'd be surprised, this warrior, this go-getter for God, this amazing man after God's heart who served the purpose of God for his generation. I bet he said, I need a rest. I earned a break. I've got some brownie points in with God. Look at what I did to those Philistines. Look, I brought the ark back. I'm a worshipper. Look, I've written most of the Bibles and Psalms. Most of the Psalms are from me. Look at that. I'm good. I'm really, wowzers, I'm good. I just need time out. Beware. When you hear yourself making excuses as to why you shouldn't be doing what you know to be right and staying at home, comfortable. Sounds like a revival message this morning. Or at least for those who want it. Because I want this. I know all my days, lazy equals trouble. Spiritually lazy. I need to be in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. David sinned. He committed adultery. Then he lied and deceived. Then it went to murder. Then it went to grief. His whole family. There was division in the family. Brothers and sisters didn't get on anymore. Brothers and brothers didn't get on anymore. And David had to bury some of his own kids. And what happened was, passivity opened the door to sin, which opened the door to so much trouble all the way through his life. Now, Jesus forgives, but how many of you know there are consequences sometimes in this world for the wrong things we do? Hello? Anybody know that? And we believe in a Redeemer, but we cannot say that God is able to fix all the bad that we do, because it has consequences on our kids, on our family, on others. Has consequences in the body of Christ. You know, when one of us in this room is sinning, it grieves the spirit in the congregation. Hello? When one of us is doing nothing spiritually, we feel it. We may not even know it's you. Praise God for his grace. But we feel it. It's like pulling a lorry up a hill sometimes in worship, because people haven't sown, so they've come to say, well, worship. How many songs have we got? Oh, three. It's always three. Rather than I'm here to... I'm not saying you're like that, but I'm just saying you could, in a moment, become like that. Beware the vacuums and the doing nothings. David, my, became famous for this, became public. And you know, God is never, ever, ever into naming and shaming. He'd much rather we dealt with things in private with him and confessed our sin privately than it ever become public. Hello? Isn't he good? Aren't you glad he's merciful? But I believe there are times when it has to come out. That there's discipline in the church. There's times when things have to come out in the open. And I believe that if you read Psalm 51, you will see that David actually found out that he'd sinned against God in this whole process of deceit, the things he was doing to try and cover up his own sin. and cover up of any sin, whether it's the sin of commission or omission, is going to cause you problems. Cover up is never freedom. But there is freedom and restoration of joy when we ask God to forgive us our sin. And when we take the warnings of Jesus seriously and live our lives knowing that if we are passive Christians, it's not going to go well. Now, I love you, and I didn't want to bring this message. I kind of struggled with this one. Because, I mean, I'm into the victory, healing, the blessing, and this is all actually tough for me to come out with such a message. But it's because the Lord has it on his heart to actually get us to raise the game about what we're sowing into our lives. He's got it on his heart to say, don't let your kids watch that stuff. Because you reap what you sow. Don't say those things, because you're speaking things that grow. With the fruit of your lips, you will eat of them. Don't dis and tear down leaders or the body of Christ. Don't do it. Fill your life with the Spirit. Fill your days with the Word of God. Don't allow yourself room to be lazy, spiritually or any other way. Nobody ever got rich doing nothing, except winning the lottery, and that's no win, let me tell you. Most lives are destroyed being millionaires. And they miss the real purpose of life, which is to know God and to serve God in their generation. We are here for this generation. You're not even here for you. You're here for others. You're not here for you this morning. You're here for this church. You're here. You're put here to be a blessing. You have a call on your life. And the good news is you can be forgiven of any sin, cleansed. And God says, like, if you say like David, create in me a clean heart, Lord. Renew a right spirit within me. In other words, put a willing spirit back on the inside of me, that I will not feed my flesh. I will not do nothing spiritually. I will not come on Sundays and just wonder what's going to be served. I've had meals all week with the Lord. I've made an investment all week so that I'm that up, I've got something to give to somebody else. Amen. And we can be cleansed. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, your salvation. Restore the joy. The restoration of joy comes through confession of sin. It doesn't come without confessing it. And if you've already confessed it, you're forgiven. We don't hang around on sins we've already confessed. We hang around on mercy has triumphed. But I would say we've all committed the sin of omission. Would you? Yes. If we're all honest. And I think God's putting his finger on something this morning. Beloved, to set you free from becoming a field of thorns, a fruitless life, given over to what you want and not over to the purpose of God. And this morning, I believe, many are going to get just step right back into the call. David, the gifts and the call are irreversible, but you can mess it up. But he got back with God, didn't he? And he fulfilled the purpose of God in his life. And there are destinies waiting for every single one of us, but they don't happen by spiritually being lazy. They happen to the diligent. Amen. Let's stand.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith South West, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.